Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Kate.
And this is Sarah.
Today's cast, internal hiring process, chapter one, development feedback, part one of one.
The questions this cast answers are, should I have a process for interviewing internal candidates? How are internal interviews different from interviewing an external candidate? And how can I encourage internal interviews as part of professional development?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Before we start, coming soon to Minneapolis, Manager Tools, April 29th and 30th. The Effective Manager and Effective Communicator will be held downtown Minneapolis. If you'd like to see our smiling faces for a change, check it out at manager-tools.com/register. Now, on to the show.
So we're back.
We're back. I've always been here, dude. Welcome back.
We as a team are back.
Yes, we as a team are back.
We're back. And we are going to talk about hiring, which we love to talk about, and specifically internally, because interviewing internal candidates is different than interviewing external candidates. Internal interviews are not just efforts to fill positions, but also part of professional development for your organization. So there's some extra layers here. And obviously, we want to prefer internal candidates for any role for which we're hiring. So if you're thinking about hiring, if you're thinking about an open rec, naturally, we'd be interested in internal candidates. Hiring too often externally does send a message sometimes that development pathways, they're blocked by internal hires. But internal promotions are also preferred when the economy is soft to help with retention and development. And my big experience is institutional knowledge. I think it's always underrated. And if you're thinking about, okay, so it's a good idea to hire internally, we want to do that, we want to engage with that, then it's worth noting, yes, internal candidates go through the same interview process. This rigor makes sure that whatever the outcome, the organization is satisfied with the hire, but it's a little different because internal promotions are part of the internal succession planning and development process. And so then there are additional steps and subtleties that we want to consider when we're going through this. And if you, like a great many professionals that we know, have only been involved in a hiring process as a hire, not as a hiring manager, or a person just involved in the decisions, then it's maybe something that you haven't really been fully exposed to. And that's normal. If that's what you're thinking is like, oh my gosh, there's so much extra here. Yeah, that's okay. Most people's experience with hiring is having been hired, not being on the other side of the table. So we're going to talk you through that.
You bet. All right. So folks, when we interview internal candidates, we're not just trying to Kate's point a minute earlier here, trying to fill a business or hiring need. Internal candidates are also taking place in the succession planning and professional development processes that all well-managed organizations rely on for the development of future leaders. Again, we want to promote from within whenever we can because retention. People want to see there's upward mobility in the organization, right? It saves us money. It's much less expensive and less risk. Wildly less risk.
Yes.
If we hire an already known quantity, and to your earlier point, Kate, we want to hire additional people from inside the organization because institutional knowledge, they've already know some of the hardest parts about working inside an organization. Who are the important people? Who do you have to talk about to what? It just makes more sense hiring internally.
Yeah. Why is it the way that it is? How come it's like this? How long has it been like this? What's the historical reason?
Exactly. All of those things. We want to hire from within. Now, the second most important responsibility of executives after growing organizational results is to develop these future leaders. And promoting our internal candidates plays an enormous part in individuals' development, getting them ready for the next step internally within the organization that hopefully at some point will present itself.
This means that we have additional responsibilities for internal candidates above and beyond the hiring process that we develop or have developed for external hires. So if you have one of those, there's some extra pieces here. one of which is robust feedback about the internal candidate's performance during the interview process. Whether the internal candidate gets the promotion or not, we owe them candid feedback about their performance. It is something that we're not necessarily beholden to for external clients. Like, we don't owe this to external clients.
Sometimes HR says, don't give external candidates that feedback. And if that's what HR tells you to do, definitely do that. But it's different for internals.
Yeah, because of the development piece and our responsibility for it. We're not responsible for the development of somebody who works somewhere else in the same way. And frankly, if you've interviewed candidates externally or internally, whatever, in both cases, there's a chance that a person comes into the process who the problem with hiring them would be that they simply don't have the experience. And you did not demonstrate guidance that we've given in the past is really helpful in that way, because it's less likely that the problem was that they interviewed poorly, more likely that their resume doesn't have the right experience on it. And that can't be solved unless they go out and enhance their career experience, which takes time. So we do need to provide this extra feedback to our internal candidates, and we're going to talk about how to do it today. We expect this cast to be the first in a series at the intersection between the hiring process, the succession planning system, and the performance management systems. We don't usually do this. We're going to start, though, with what happens last in the overall process in terms of these casts and our planned guidance on them. We're starting at the end, which is the feedback that we owe internal candidates. So we're going to cover three things today.
Exactly. First, we're going to talk about how internal candidates get developmental feedback when they interview. Then, hiring managers, interviewers, and the candidate's boss play a role. Followed by, feedback is both about interview process performance and developmental strengths and weaknesses. So, starting with, internal candidates get developmental feedback when they interview. So, folks, when an internal candidate interviews for a promotion, they're engaging in behavior that is not just about interviewing. That is, the promotion process is also part of a larger succession planning and performance development system for your organization. What this means is we owe internal candidates feedback that can actually help them with their career development, with their interviewing skills, getting them ready for another future opportunity. We need to go beyond just interviewing. This isn't just about what the organization gets. We need to give value back to the individual because we want them to keep working here or try for other future promotions in our organization.
Their future right now includes us if we can do this well. And it's easy to understand and do. And somehow very few organizations, basically only the best managed ones, actually do it. While it's easy to understand and do, the hiring manager and interviewers often don't have enough of a trusting relationship to feel comfortable, air quotes, giving feedback to an internal candidate. In addition, the default response of virtually all managers is that candidates who don't win the job don't deserve feedback, which is disheartening. It, of course, comes from the process we use when we interview external candidates. That's where that sentiment comes from, which in this case is different because of our responsibility to internal candidates and their future here, our ability to help them create a positive future here. It's not difficult. And it's one of those things too that's simple to do. So doing something this simple and knowing that it has so much impact, just one of those like, hey, you wanna be better than the next guy? Cool, do this. And it's not hard to do.
Exactly. Now, something we've advocated for at Manager Tools for a really long time is what we call a frictionless talent market. That is, internal employees should be free to interview for any job that they're interested in and reasonably qualified for
in the company.
Yeah, within your organization. Exactly. Not that they can't do that for external, but
sure.
Technically. We shouldn't get in the way. We shouldn't prevent. In fact, we should go as far as encouraging their application, their willingness to want to be promoted and try new things and stay within our organization to do it. All of these things are great. In fact, someone wanting a promotion ought to be in a position to interview even before they're ready. Because think about it this way. If they wait for when they're truly, truly ready.
From a skills perspective, ready.
From a skills perspective, exactly. If they wait, then they'll be fully unfamiliar with the process. Whereas if they can, before they're quite ready from a skills perspective, interview, they can go through, become familiar with the process and often the people that will be interviewing potentially for when they truly are ready. To wait until they're ready, capable of handling fully this new role, and then fail because they didn't understand the internal interview process or hadn't built relationships with the right people or were not aware of all of the things that were required in order for them to convince or persuade the people who were in positions to hire them, to wait for them to be ready from a skills perspective and then fail because they were not qualified to interview well is a complete inefficiency in the system.
I think my favorite thing about this inefficiency is that it has a really fun name. I never expected this to be its name. When a company doesn't promote an internal candidate who could have done the job, it's called a Romeo and Juliet.
How romantic. In a dark way. Romantic in a dark way.
Exactly. So the classic tragic love story, the two protagonists are both alive right before the end, right up till the very last minute. Juliet fakes her death. Romeo doesn't know she's dead, poisons himself, feeling he can't live without her, and dies. So when she wakes up, hey, guess what? He's dead. So she stabs herself.
Mm-hmm.
Because teenagers can't be trusted. And?
Yes, and.
Both things are true.
Both things.
They wanted to be alive together forever. And because of because of multiple misunderstandings, they end up dead, separated for eternity. It occurs to me that Shakespeare was a real ironic guy. Similarly, when a good candidate who wants a role doesn't get it, and the organization should have known that they were good enough but didn't offer it to them, it's a tragic tale. They should have ended up together, but they end up apart. Forever. Probably not forever. A Romeo and Juliet ending.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And I mean, the tragic loss of opportunities for both parties is abound. These kinds of mistakes, essentially, are all too frequent in too many organizations. But if a candidate interviews poorly, even when they may have the skills necessary, both the organization and the internal candidate suffer. And even if the candidate didn't have the skills, but gets no feedback on what they need to improve, the inefficient outcome is likely to repeat itself. If you don't get the input you need to be better at interviewing, you'll never get better at interviewing. And thus, you'll always have the skills, but no one will hire you anyway because you don't interview well. We owe it to the people who work for us within our organizations to learn how to better interview, be qualified, be capable.
Yes, absolutely. And we're here to share with you, if you don't know how to do it, that's pretty normal. That's why we put out this guidance, because it's really normal that managers, professionals, many, many, many of them don't have these skills. And okay, let's go back to your scenario, the candidate interviews poorly and they don't get any feedback. Okay, thinking through that, maybe we could justify this because the external candidate in some cases was better. And both having the necessary skills and interviewing well are at play. They're both important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That only considers the hiring process, though. and not the succession planning and performance development systems, which are, frankly, if you add them all up, more important, override the simple consideration of the hiring practice, hiring process, both. And an effective manager being involved in interviewing an internal candidate should think about not just the hiring process. They really need to consider the internal processes involved and realize that an internal candidate is behaving within the succession planning, the developmental systems. And that means that the candidate's manager has to inform the succession planning work group, hey, there's an interview coming, it's happening, and here's what happened, and tell them about the guidance received. Because to some extent, the way I think of it is the hiring team, interviewing team, is acting in the interest of the succession planning and development groups by providing this. So we're just suggesting that you do what you would have done in these other systems as a part of the interview process rather than separately later. And we also have to confer with the people around us in this, right? So it's not just telling them, it's confer. And in this way, again, we're simply supporting people who are going, hopefully, to stay working here, whether in a new role or in their same role.
That's the goal. Yeah.
Right. So when you think of it that way, it becomes pretty apparent. Oh, that makes sense that we would do that. And it's kind of a shift in the way I think you might be thinking about your internal assets. But if you've never done this for one of your directs, you're guilty of seeing the interview as a job screen rather than an opportunity for future career path. Maybe not. It doesn't always have to be. I think it's worth noting that some of this discussion leads us to, it doesn't always have to be upward mobility. Sometimes it could be lateral moves. It could be shifts, depending. And we say this because of the huge burden, honestly, financial, institutional knowledge, all these burdens upon us hiring new people. If you have been interviewing people recently, you know it is brutal. It's not something you do often. You feel like you're ignoring your work, which is, of course, not true. It's one of the most strategically important things you'll ever do. And it's brutal. It's easier if they're internal. You also have so much more confidence in the outcome. So we really want to encourage you and make sure that the hiring process, whether it's successful in filling the position or not, is successful in advancing a person's understanding and therefore their ability to maintain a career path that benefits them and the organization.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Kate. I think something that I'm sure folks listening to this know that we have got an effective hiring manager conference. And one of the things I find myself often saying when talking about effective hiring is this concept that interviewing is a fictitious reality designed to resemble reality so that we can try and measure whether or not a person, if given the opportunity to do the job, could do the job.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the hardest things to measure are actually not the skills and abilities, rather traits and characteristics. Traits and characteristics being hardworking, honest, patient, loyal, kind, like all those types of things. Now, while they may not have the skills and abilities, we know the traits and characteristics about internal candidates, which means even our job as an interviewer trying to imagine, trying to picture them actually doing this job becomes that much easier. Why wouldn't we want to encourage it?
Yeah, you have some ability to predict when this person's going to get to their desk every day because they already do it every day.
Exactly. They already come on time every day.
You can see if this person, you know, collaborates well. All these things are already happening. And so we really have so much of the answer in front of us. And hopefully you're not interviewing anybody who the answer to those questions doesn't satisfy the needs of the role or the needs of the organization. Hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If they're coming late every day today, they will come late every day then as well.
Yeah.
You can make that assumption. the most likely indicator of a person's future behavior is their past behavior.
If you're listening to this and you're in the process of looking for a job, let me say this out loud. The reason you don't get the job when you show up late to the interview is because you only get one chance to prove that you are a timely person. And they're thinking, well, if they didn't show up today, I can't trust that they will show up on time next time.
Yep.
The issue for a candidate for most of interviewing is that you only get one shot. They only see your resume one time. It's only one page. You only get to show up on time one time. The times you have to prove yourself, every single one is the only one. That's why you got to do it well, guys. So it sounds harsh when we say, if they don't show up on time, we don't hire them. That sounds harsh. You know why? It's because you get one data point. And if I only get one data point, that's what I got. That's the answer I have.
I'm going to be fussy about it. Exactly.
Yes.
Just jumping in here for a bit to talk to you about our effective hiring manager training, which we offer both on-site and virtually. If you'd like to learn more about how we can teach your entire workforce, everyone who's involved in the hiring process, how to hire better, how to probe, how to listen, how to capture notes, how to watch for red flags, all of it, you name it, we'll do it. Send an email to Maggie at customerservice@manager-tools.com. to learn how we can help your organization raise the bar. Now, back to the show.
So now we're coming to our kind of second bit here about the managers, the interviewers, the boss, everybody who plays a role. The hiring manager owes nothing to an external candidate whom she interviews. That's not part of the process. It's not part of our obligations. But for an internal candidate, the hiring manager owes it to the succession planning and performance development systems to give specific feedback regarding the candidate's experience. And it's not the role of the internal candidate to seek out this guidance. They should. They don't know to do that, probably.
That's the thing. They probably don't know to do it.
And it isn't their responsibility. So, okay. It's the hiring manager who owes the candidate both positive and negative feedback about their candidacy and progress through the process.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And folks, Kate said hiring manager, but the same is also true for the remainder of the interviewers. Some hiring managers think it's better for them to gather all of this information from all of the other interviewers and deliver all of it to the candidate, but we strongly disagree. The hiring manager should identify internal candidates to their fellow interviewers and tell those individual interviewers that they each individually owe feedback to the candidate. Instead of putting themselves between as this liaison between the two parties, it's inefficient, unnecessary.
Not effective either. Because the candidate has a question, is that what they really said? How do they, right?
Right, exactly. What did they mean by that? Well, I don't know. Yeah. So just tell, as a hiring manager, my expectation is that you reach out to this internal candidate and provide them feedback. It's that easy.
Yeah. It's true regardless of whether or not the person succeeds in achieving the role or not. So outcome, whatever outcome we get, still counts. We're going to do it. Even candidates who get the job have likely made errors or answered questions poorly and could use some help. It's worth helping them understand. And candidates who don't get the job did stuff that they did some positive things.
Absolutely.
They could have been particularly strong in a certain skill, background, area, and they'll benefit from being told, hey, this went well. Because again, they lack so much insight into the process. Actually, I said again, I'm not sure we've said this today. One of the things that's very interesting is the interviewing process, the hiring process is so transparent to you if you're on the hiring team. And it is so untransparent to you if you are a candidate. I can not think of very many situations where the understanding and lack of understanding are so separate, honestly. And it's not very often talked about that. Think of all the stuff that you know as a hiring manager about the pay package and how HR works and who's in charge and when it will be and how long it will take and how many pages are average in the pay package or the offer letter or whatever. The candidate knows none of that.
Yeah.
None. They don't know how long your HR department takes. They don't know if Kathy's out because her husband broke her leg. They don't know if the package is already ready. They don't know anything.
Nothing. It's completely opaque to them.
Yes. And completely transparent to you. I mean, it's like a two-way mirror, honestly. That's actually a little creepy. It is kind of like that. And it's a little creepy. I just thought of that show, which I'm not watching Severance. Are you watching Severance?
Oh, no. I am not watching Severance, but I like that guy. He was in Parks and Rec.
Yes.
He's hilarious.
He is not that person or that funny in this show. And people are really watching it. It's getting really popular, I guess. I found it very odd. And I think tried it two or three times and then.
Yeah.
But we also shouldn't compare our content to that show because it's a show about jobs. So no, ignore that show. Don't look at it. Get it out of here. So we want all candidates, internal, external, to know how they did. And the external people only need to know if they got the job or not. The internal people need to know more whether they got the job or not.
Yeah. And folks, there are more parties than simply the hiring manager and the other interviewers that have responsibility, in a way, to their candidate. The candidate's manager should also be seeing this not just as a job interview, right? But as development, as learning, as succession planning, as a data gathering opportunity. The internal candidate's current manager should be helping them prepare for interviews. I mean, reviewing their resume. And it's going to increase the likelihood that they will be able to improve upon that resume. The current manager can create a series of interview questions, which not only she can use in a practice interview, but that allows her to ask her other direct peers and the candidate to ask those same questions. Folks, it's unlikely the candidate's peers would have good knowledge of the role and likely questions, but if the manager themselves creates a series of questions and has them asked, it gives the candidate more practice interviewing. And practice interviewing is one of the reasons it's so hard to ace it on that very first time. Because you don't have a lot of practice. I mean, how many of us have tons of interviewing practice as a candidate? So the more people, I mean, heck, if your spouse will practice interview you, great. But as a manager, you should be helping prepare your team members for future roles on other people's team within the organization. You should reach out to the hiring manager and talk to them about your direct.
Yeah.
Strengths, weaknesses, readiness for the role. You can do the same with other interviewers. I mean, if you know those other interviewers, reach out. Let them know. Your candidate, talk a little bit about them. I mean, hopefully you're doing so positively. I mean, that's the assumption here, folks. The assumption isn't that you're trying to get rid of them, rather. The assumption here is they're really, really great and you want the organization overall to retain them.
And to benefit from their efforts and...
Yeah, exactly. All those things. So yeah, like in a positive way, like reaching out, like, hey, what are you guys looking for? Well, this is their skills. This might work for this. Those kinds of things. The candidate's manager should not assume that they can only reach out to those interviewers or hiring managers with whom they have a relationship. If a fellow manager or leader interviews one of your people, that in itself creates a relationship between you and that interviewer. That's reason enough to reach out, to say, hey, I'd like to get together. Share some stuff about this candidate. They're currently on my team. Would love to give you an insider's view. And while you'll probably get more insights that you can use as feedback for your direct from someone with whom you have some prior connection, at least.
Sure.
You can make new connections by asking those you don't know. And they'll, let's face it, be impressed that you took the time to work on behalf of your direct.
And your direct will be really grateful. And someday now this is a person, two people that you've added to your network. Afterwards, this person whom you've asked for feedback and all that and support from can debrief the candidate. You can debrief the candidate. You can see if there's follow-up communications that might help them stand out from other people. This kind of lobbying, if you will, happens all the time. And too many managers have no idea that it's kosher, that it's fine.
Encouraged. Yeah.
Yes. And the candidate's manager benefits not only from being seen as someone who cares about their direct careers, they also benefit from being seen as someone who helps people get promoted, which attracts others to her team who are high performers and want to rise in the organization. You know, it's funny. I was talking to someone who's about to graduate college yesterday. I was helping with his resume. And he is in Seattle. He's an engineer, wants to go into racing, like Formula One or what's that other thing? NASCAR, that kind of thing. Yep. And we're working on the resume. And he said, I've been having trouble. It seems like the people who get hired are, they know the person who's hiring. And I said, that's true. And I could tell it had been maybe a little bit disheartening to him. And we had a really candid and I think very helpful chat about how the reason people hire people they know is not because of like nepotism or something. It's because you know how that person works. You know whether they show up on time. You know whether they're honest. You know whether they're hardworking. You know whether they're pleasant to have on the team because you've known them for a long time. The longer you've known a person, the more data you have about their traits and characteristics and also behaviors.
Yeah, the kind of person they are. Absolutely.
Yes.
What they're likely to do.
And I was explaining to this person, you know, it's perfectly reasonable to assume that hiring a person is a $100,000 decision.
Yeah.
If that's the case, and you don't make very many $100,000 decisions in your life, a lot of hiring managers are nervous to hire someone they don't know because of the unknown. And someone they know reduces that level of unknown significantly. And then they feel more confident. They feel more comfortable making a $100,000 decision because guess what? They have more faith that it's going to work out. And so we had this conversation and I'm not certain that we've fully ever said all that out loud, that it's simply a function of, can I predict what this person will be like? And I can predict what someone I know will be like better than someone for whom I've only ever seen their resume. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
Now, look, there's some people out there who are hiring their friends. And
absolutely. Nepotism exists, folks. But
yeah.
It exists far less than you think it exists.
I suppose I should not have said the word nepotism, specifically me, given my relationships in the company. But again, more data. And I went through a rigorous 12 hours of phone interviews and 10-hour in-person interview. So,
oh yeah,
we did put me through the ringer. So that's how to explain nepotism.
Yeah, exactly. You're welcome.
Yeah. Are you glad?
This is a little additional gleam of value for you. There you go. You're welcome. Okay. So that takes us to then the fact that feedback is both about the interview process, performance, and developmental strengths and weaknesses. Now, remember, folks, because this is not simply an interview, but also a development opportunity and succession planning related event, feedback can be both about how they did in the interview and how their performance history compares with the other candidates that were being considered for the role. The hiring manager and interviewers can spend even just 5 minutes with the internal candidate to help them understand, again, separate from their interview performance, how their strengths and weaknesses were seen, what weaknesses were identified in their background, maybe where they have a gap in experience.
Wouldn't that be amazing to interview for a job and have them say, hey, the reason we didn't hire you is because you need 3 years on X?
Exactly. All right, we'll go get 3 years on X then. How about that? And then I'll try again.
Yes. And the internal candidate should share whatever they hear with their manager. That way, their manager can start providing developmental opportunities, training, feedback, coaching, delegation to improve those areas that are needed. it's a huge missed opportunity for managers and their directs, a great many of them. It really is probably the closest thing your company can do to succession and career planning in our new reality, because it used to be that the companies did the succession and career planning, and that's no longer the case. People are responsible for their own careers now. So, okay, A, this allows your candidates, internal people in your organization, to get better at their career management. And it allows, here's my Machiavellian piece. It allows the company to train people and groom them into the right candidates. So now you get to have a person in the organization who's not just doing their job, but training for the next one. And you get what you want. Why not? Why don't we want this? We do want it. We just didn't know that we could have it. And we didn't know how to do it. And now you do. You're welcome.
That's exactly it. Now, all this joy, all this wonderfulness, none of it happens if, as managers, we just look at an internal interview as an interview.
Yeah, just an interview.
It's just an interview, exactly. Or worse, and something that I feel like I see more often than should definitely exist, is we see a direct getting promoted primarily as a loss for our team. And I think a lot of managers think that. That's why they don't advocate for their people, right? That's why they're not trying to talk to the other people in the panel and give them input and share information about their directs, because they see it themselves as a loss for my team. And folks, that's small thinking. We're thinking about our team versus the overall organization. We're thinking about our team and what it needs versus the candidate and what they need from their role. And it makes us less willing to help our directs succeed. It results in both the organization and our direct, and ultimately us, losing. Because if your direct doesn't move up, move on, move to different roles within the organization that would meet their desires for their career, they're going to leave you anyway. So you can either help them do that within your organization, or eventually say goodbye to them anyway.
Yeah, that could be one of our outcomes.
Yeah.
There is a very, very exciting outcome that people don't often talk about. The fact that if we get them promoted, man, we'll always have been the person who helped them get a job. And since we do a lot of, as I talked about my yesterday session, helping people with their resumes and such, I can tell you, as somebody who's helped some people get their jobs, they are pleased.
Yeah.
And it's great. They'll always remember you. They'll always feel like you supported them, like they owe you a little bit. The best part is, though, for you, that now, if you do this internally, you have somebody on your, like an ally. It's great to get somebody hired somewhere else. If you get somebody hired to be your peer, oh man, you got so much positive relationship from that. And when you have a positive relationship with a peer in another department, another group, wow, it's amazing.
Yeah.
You really can get so much done.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. Folks, only good things come from helping your directs do the things that are required to help them meet the desires they have for their career. Internal candidate interviews are not just an interview. They're part of the succession planning the organization expects all managers to contribute to. Interview processes are a feedback-rich environment, but only if we see them as such and work to mine the feedback, share it, and then use it. As managers, we've got an obligation to see such interviews as a chance for development, with information coming out of the process that we can use to strengthen our direct's performance and their chances to have a bigger impact on our company's results. And even though we shouldn't need another reason to engage in this level of professionalism, here we go with one more. The manager that engages in this kind of behavior will be seen by executives and other leaders in the organization as somebody who develops future leaders, which is the second most important responsibility of all executives, and we should be doing more of it.
Yeah, if all this other stuff about helping people didn't make you feel good, there's also the part where it makes you look good.
Yeah, there's also the part where it makes you look good. And that, not that bad either.
Yeah, we're not sad about that. All right, y'all, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Kate.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.